It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And welcome back. Second half, the show is live. We've had a number of great guests during the first half. We'll spend some time with the callers this hour and then a few more guests to close it out. Let's check in with Carol in Houston. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Well, you're doing great, Carol. Thank you.
Good. Well, I have a quick comment about callers. You know, but if I hear people complain, but you've got Matt and Legend and Cat Daddy and, I mean, all these characters. Every single school has at least one character that calls in about them on a regular basis. Most people just want to call and hear their own voices, like Jim a few minutes ago. But that's what makes your show great, because you are very gracious and you give everyone a platform. As far as griping and complaining about scheduling, I have one thing to say. I listen to you because I love football. We're only about 90 days out. Quit complaining about scheduling and just be excited that we've got games coming up. We have media days in 5 or 6 weeks. That's just so exciting for me to be able to be back into the time where we're listening to and talking about actual football games. And I'm an Aggie, you know. We joined the SEC because you don't get better by playing weaker. You get better by playing better. So people just need to quit complaining about schedules. Do what you got to do. You know, the only time in my life as a football fan I ever cringed was last season, my team failed to show up. But, you know, hope springs eternal, Paul. And I hope that everybody is excited about football coming back as I am.
Well done. Carol, thank you. That is an inspirational call and an accurate one. We'll talk to you very soon. Thank you. Jackie is in Tennessee. Hello, Jackie.
Hello, Paul. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Well, just wanted to tell you how great you are. I love hearing you.
Thank you.
But my comments, unlike the last caller, is regarding the non-conference schedule of the SEC. Because I think my personal opinion is the SEC is much more conference. And it seems that they had a chance to upgrade their image, and they didn't take it. So it seems to me like they're playing more for not to lose than they are playing to win. And I just hope that the other conferences don't drop their benchmarks in relationship to the SEC, you know, just trying to get teams into the championship versus playing games that matter. And then I have one more comment regarding Jim, the icon. I always love when he calls because it gives me a chance to go to the bathroom. But other than that, because I know I won't miss anything when he talks. Anyway, I just hope that the SEC does go to the 9-game conference or, you know, conference games, and they start looking at these non-conference games in a little bit, especially the ones that are late in the season. I don't get it. I can understand the scrimmages early in the season, but I just don't get the ones.
No, I agree, Jackie. I don't think there's anything worse than, you know, you're getting all these major games, and a week before your Thanksgiving games, you get games that are simply unwatchable. And they really are unwatchable. I'm not talking about the games early on. You may get a great one, and then you may get an off-brand, but those games – The SEC has changed the schedule a little bit. I mean, there are some meaningful games in late November, but there's also 7 or 8 that literally, outside of a young kid who would watch anything, adults don't want really to care. I talked to a parent of a player last year. His son was on the. He was a walk-on, And he was excited because his son might get in the game. Now, that's great. Fantastic. I was pulling for his son to get in the game as well because we're friends. But outside of that little antidote, the television audience was not amused. Steve-O is up next in Georgia. Hello, Steve.
Bye and bomb. What's kicking, chicken?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, awesome. Hey, I missed a lot of last week's after the Destin was done. I didn't catch you Thursday or Friday, but did you respond to old crazy old Brando and his comment?
I have not said anything about that, no.
Okay, well, man, Brando needs to come on your show and explain to himself how Nick Saban is chicken and how he was bashing Greg Sankey over this eight-game schedule like Sankey had anything to do with it. It's just ludicrous what the dude was saying.
Well, my feeling about that is that he's got every right to express himself, and people can either react to him or ignore him.
Well, let's talk about it. Now, listen, I agree that we should be at a nine-game schedule, and I do agree with a portion of Brando saying that I think Nick Saban was one of the head guys that swayed it back to an eight-game schedule. I do agree with that.
Well, I had somebody tell me today, they were surmising this, but this is somebody that's been around intercollegiate athletics for a long time, that may have been the breaking point, that in every other situation you had a football coach expressing his preference to the athletic director and president, but ultimately the elder statesman won out. But that's not the way it is at Alabama. Nick Saban wanted to stay at eight, even though he has been a flag waver for nine for almost 15 years. And as a result, the vote came back. And I mean, if Nick Saban had wanted nine, I think the conference would have ended up going to nine.
I definitely agree. And I would like for Nick Saban to explain why.
Well, he gave a comment the other day at some fundraiser where, I mean, it was a typical political namby-pamby, non-committal statement. But everyone knows that Nick Saban wanted eight. I mean, he's welcome to change that narrative if he'd like. I bet he won't.
All right, yep. That's kind of what I thought, Paul. I just want to know what changed his mind. What was it?
Well, the only evidence we have is what he said in that interview with Ross Dellinger about the schedule when he learned that he would be facing, of course, Auburn, but Tennessee and LSU every year. He cringed, and some have debated was it Tennessee or was it LSU. I think it was LSU that really put him over the top because just the familiarity with that program and the fact that the LSU game last year was really the costly game. Alabama could have survived losing at Tennessee as poorly as that game was managed down the stretch. Had they been prepared for the two-point conversion against LSU and stopped it, but they weren't, and the season literally went down the drain right there.
So does he want Missouri and Vanderbilt to take the place of
I guess he
LSU?
Does. I mean, I really don't know. I haven't really talked to him this week about it or heard from him. So I'll lean on others to try to clear that one up. But I think he, you know, I'm sure he'll march in the next time we see him with a more nuanced response. But,
well, I hope you call him out during media days and ask him a point-blank question why he changed his mind.
Well, I will. I think that's a fair question. And I ask questions that I think we all want to know the answer for, and I think
exactly.
That's one that the public would really like an answer. And I'm not talking about a nuanced answer. I'm not talking about one of, you know, somebody shilling for Coach Saban. I'm talking about an honest answer. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it very much. We head to the break right now. More of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Parker joins us from Kentucky. Hello, Parker.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for checking in with us, Parker.
How do you think Kentucky baseball has been doing during this tournament?
Well, they're playing Indiana. I mean, and for those who don't know much about Kentucky, Kentucky-Indiana is a fierce rivalry. Used to be one of the most anticipated games of the year in basketball. And this is a big deal. Yeah, I really am extremely impressed with what Kentucky has done this year. We had a good chance last week to talk to the athletic director, Mitch Barnhart, and he was really proud of what they're doing. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
I think they're going to win. After what they did yesterday to Virginia and India, I think they are going to just blow them out again.
I am with you, Parker. Let's follow that closely. But Kentucky has always had a good basketball tradition. Remember, John Cone coached up at Kentucky before making the move to Mississippi State. Victor is up next. Hey, Victor. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Limbaugh. Mr. Limbaugh. Look how bad I am. Mr. Feinbaum, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk real quickly about NIL, and I'm a bit different than most. I see the golden age of college football is the 1930s and 1940s before the NCAA was even, you know, introduced, when there were no athletic scholarships. But Frank Lee and Newt Rockne were sort of well-known for using financial inducements to collect some of the hard-nosed, tough kids from the Midwest, Chicago, to come play football for Notre Dame. And, you know, these are wonderful stories. You know, that George Gipp, apparently, according to one of the books I read, you know, got pneumonia because he passed out in the snowbank behind a bar after he got drunk. And, you know, to me, that's a wonderful story. And, the KKK tried to march in South Bend, and Notre Dame students beat him up. You know, so the NCAA, I think, when they came in, they made college football terrible. They controlled which games could be on TV. Most big games that year were during the year you couldn't even see. They were, you know, heck, it didn't matter anyway, because either Michigan or Ohio State was going to win the Big Ten, and either Nebraska or Oklahoma was going to win the Big Eight, you know, unless there was some mistake. Texas was going to win the Southwest Conference. I like that, today, if Vanderbilt and Tulane want to compete, they can do it. You know, they can, you know, say, hey, you know, well, maybe we'll pay you a little bit more. Maybe you want to live in New Orleans, you know, you play earlier, it's a private school, maybe you get a little more attention, but there's no way they can compete with the financial reach and power of Texas, Alabama, Georgia. So I see NIL as just a completely positive thing. I'd also point out the NCAA never made a rule saying you can't pay a college coach more than a college dean. You know, they never made any rules saying, you know, you can't you can't relieve a college coach of his duties, a head coach, prior to the end of his contract unless for cause, right? You know, I mean, the only thing the NCAA ever said is you can't pay players. Well, to me, that just seems like you're trying to control the labor costs of college football. You know, if players were paid what they were worth, do you think we'd have the same salaries for the college coaches that we have? I don't know. Also, you know, because of college football and the prevalence of all these games and then on TV after the NCAA was backed off by that Oklahoma case that you made everybody own their own game rights, I've been able to be introduced to people like Najee Harris and Devontae Smith and Bryce Young. And I don't see any problem whatsoever in paying these. I don't see how that would negatively affect me if these young men could get paid while they were playing college football. They would still be wonderful young men that everybody should be proud of and, you know, happy to meet sometime in their life if they could, or at least follow their career. So, you know, that's my main comment on NIL. And if I could just sneak in one more thing, I wanted to thank you and compliment you for the things you do, but I needed to do it by bringing up Howard Cosell. You know, in the 70s, many people hated Howard Cosell. I count me in that group. And then one time a friend told me, you know, he makes football more interesting for the casual or the new fan. And that really made me think of it. And then what you do, Mr. Feinbaum, is different than anybody's ever done before, I think. You welcome everybody. You can have a call and talk about the Midnight Run of Billy Cannon or just some youngster who's 12 years old and wants to talk about their favorite team, and you just build bridges, and I really appreciate that. I don't think I've ever, you know, I think in the 70s, the zeitgeist was let's expand the audience for college football, or not college football, football in general, with Monday Night Football, and of course Howard Cosell and all that stuff. But today, I kind of feel a little exclusivity that the announcers use too much jargon. It doesn't have that same welcoming, you know, new feel. And you break that mold. You welcome everybody. And if I can, forgive me for invading your privacy a little. Just as I imagine as a slight belt Jewish kid in Memphis, Tennessee, who lost his father in early age, you discovered that college football was a wonderful thing for bringing people together, for building bridges. And, you know, it's you know, one of those old sayings in the South about how college football did more for civil rights and race relations in the South than any of the politics and legislation of that era. So anyway, if you have any comments, thanks for letting me speak, and I really appreciate it.
Well, Victor, thank you very much. There was a lot to digest and unpack there, but I'm in your debt for all the things that you said. Thank you for that. James is up next. Hello, James.
Paul, how's your day going?
It's been fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Fabulous. May 27th, I'm sitting outside the Hidden Lantern bookstore along North Barrett, peddling my wares. And along comes a Florida State Seminole fan. And I just hollered out. I said, FSU to the SEC? And he stopped. And he turned. He said, I sure hope so. So, Paul, that leads me to my question. At 16, more, I mean, the commissioner says that 16 just means more. How many is too many? Where do we stop? Is 20 too many? 24? Where do we stop before the bubble bursts?
James, I don't think the bubble bursts at any number. I think it's really about the market. And I'm still struggling to wrap my arms around Texas, but Florida State would be in the same genre, where a school that 30 years ago didn't want the SEC, Texas didn't either, and now, you know, we're seeing a shift. I think the SEC at some point could absorb a few more, but it won't be immediate because it's complex, and I'm not going to give you, I don't want to give you a bunch of jargon, but
so
these are fairly difficult things to pull off.
All right, what you're telling me is Paul Feinbaum, the bridge builder, excuse me for borrowing that, Paul, is struggling with Texas. Is that because of the geography?
No, I'm not struggling. I'm struggling with the fact that this is a school that 12 years ago was heading to the Pac-12, so it could align its interests more with Cal Berkeley and Stanford and UCLA than with
Was that because
hourly.
Of competition or academics?
No, it was more academics. But that shows you how thinking changes. And I think I've never been more excited about a school coming in the SEC than Texas. So let me make that perfectly clear.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Paul.
I think Florida State, I don't think Florida State is high on the list right now because I don't think there is a list right now.
Okay, so what you're telling me is we're holding Pat at 16 and everybody else can just hope and wish for a brighter day?
Well, time moves it however you want it to move, but we haven't even gotten into next year yet. I think once that happens, and then once the absorption of two new schools are added, I think, and then it depends on the market. But right now, the market for Florida State is complicated from a legal standpoint. They're in a league that signed away their rights for another 12 or 13 years, and people ask, why did they do that? Because they were trying to keep up with the SEC. They wanted what the SEC had, and they made a media rights deal that makes it it is impossible for them to break that without paying an enormous fee. Now, yeah, Texas and Oklahoma paid their way out, but it wasn't nearly to the degree that Florida State or Miami or North Carolina or Duke or any of those ACC schools would have to pay.
Okay, and it's just not the same, is it, Paul? The SEC and the ACC.
Well,
not
anymore. I mean, I was reading today about how the ACC was trying to change the narrative. Basketball, which was always their bell cow, has gone sour for them lately. I mean, they're successful, but the league is not what it was. Football, it's a good football league. I mean, you can live off watching ACC football, but it's not the best. And there is no route right now for it to become the best. That is really where the Big Ten and the SEC lie. And, you know, we can hate on the Big Ten all we want, but they're still the only other dog out there that is in the same kennel as the SEC.
Okay, tell me this. If I find a bookstore in Charlotte, and I come over there and do a book signing, how much advance notice do you need? Not to get out of town. I want to know how many books you're good for, Feinbaum.
Well, I'm good for one. I can save you. I can save you the gas money if you want to just send me a note. I'll buy your silly book. I'm always trying to help out starving artists. So
okay, here's what I'll tell you.
What is the list price on the book?
The book is certainly not silly. I mean, we got a book here about
family. Let me retract.
And I know that you're just throwing that out
there.
Funny. I mean, what now?
How much does the book cost?
It retails for $24.95. Yes, now, and the most recent one that I have in print retails for $15. So
are they available on Amazon?
No. Okay, their politics and mine do not jive.
Because then I could get a discount. Okay, $24.99. Randy, what are you good for?
$5.
Randy's in for $5.
In for $5? Should I get the check first, Paul?
Yes. Jamari, Jamari's in for $4.95. Randy's in for $5. Bram's.
Oh, you mean for $5.
Hold on.
He wants that his portion
of
the book.
Okay, $5, and $5. We've got we've essentially got $14.95. I'll go for the $10 and a nickel to save you the trip of coming here.
Oh, well, I certainly want to come to Charlotte and sell some books.
I can't guarantee that. I mean, I am not a promoter.
Okay, well,
so I can bring the audience, what is the book about?
The book is about a World War II veteran.
Okay.
And his family.
It's not silly, then. Let me correct that.
Oh, no.
I apologize.
Of course not.
I'm sure it's a compelling story.
And the other book is about an industrial accident where a man loses his life. And it's a story of faith.
Okay. Well,
but it's okay. You didn't know that.
Okay. Are you trying to sell two books? If you are, I'd like to make a deal with you.
I would like to sell 1,000, but, you know, one at a time, Paul.
Well, having been in the book business before, it's a complicated – I've always tried to get the money up front, and apparently you're trying to get
– It's a chore. I've done 8 book signings since November. It would have been better if I'd have done 80. But we're working on it.
Okay. We have, James, thank you. 2 worthwhile books. I hope people will buy them, assuming they can find them. We are coming right back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and we are glad you are too. Let's continue. More phone calls. And AC in Bangladesh.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you feeling?
We're doing great.
Absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, I hope you had a nice weekend, sir. Hour number 2, you had to explain how you treat everybody like you are the better host compared to any other stations out there. I agree with you. I have experience. Some of the stations, they would have, let me tell you something. 80% of the callers you have, including me, they would not tolerate the things we do. They will ban us for good. Just like I'm banned from calling Kentucky Sports Radio because I host Smash Matt Jones. Every single day, Matt Jones told his producer, don't ever put AC. I said, thank you very much. I'll get to that very next station because I really don't care about you, little idiot. But the thing is, Mr. Feinbaum, you are absolutely correct. You know, I have so many callers, they attack you back and forth. It's nonsense. It's garbage. You are, like, I say something right now, you don't mind taking my call the very next day and the one after. This is what we appreciate you. Even though we give you headache, I'm pretty sure I give you migraine. But guess what? We love to have fun with you, Mr. Feinbaum. And that's what we do. Sometimes it just gets out of hand. What can I do? What can we do? We like to have fun. Unlike Jim from Tuscaloosa, he doesn't know how to have fun. Because when you're sitting in the basement, you don't know nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Holla.
Thank you very much for that. Truly outstanding call. Will is up next. Hello, Will.
I'd hate to see the Roman charge from Bangladesh on that one.
Man.
Really not worth it. Paul, was that the same James from like a summer or two ago that questions you if you mowed your own yard?
I am happy that James is an all. I think everyone should attempt to write a book, and especially to do 2. And these are, you know, 2 really substantive subjects. I feel like we've given it enough attention, though, don't you?
Yeah. COVID was a hoax to James. That's the only thing I remember. I ain't heard from him in a long time. I was wondering where he was at.
I mean, we will put pretty much any book author on, but there there might be a line There might be a limit to.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Friday was like the anniversary of Lou Gehrig's day or whatever on MLB Network. And
yes.
They had Sarah Langs on.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it. Wow, that she was such a great guest
she
when we
was.
Talked to her a couple weeks ago.
If somebody's going to promote anything, I'd just like to throw her website out there. It's Sarah Langs. It's sarahlangs.org. But, I mean, if somebody's going to promote anything, some people need to check that out.
Yeah,
I
think there's
at it
probably over, more a valuable tool for us to, if we want to give a contribution than to buy this guy's book.
Yeah.
And I say this, Will, because I've been that guy. I did a bunch of gimmick books a long time ago and swore I would never do it again. And then 7 or 8 years ago, I did a fairly big book deal. And when you do a book, you become consumed with it. You think it's the only thing that matters. You talk so much to your friends that they literally walk away from you because they want to say, listen, it's nice that you have a best-selling book or a not best-selling book, but we don't care anymore. One of the greatest insults, I did a book signing. I went all over. I mean, it was a big deal. And somebody I was very close friends with, a guy that, you know, was 10 years older than me and, you know, a person of means. He picked me up at the airport. He said, I can't go to the book site. I said, that's fine. Just drop me off. He said, can I have a free book? I'm like, going, what? I mean, like, I'm trying to make a living. But I gave him one. But, I mean, there's kind of a rule, buy your friends' books, but don't call your friends' talk shows and turn the entire audience off about your book.
Yeah, I felt like I was being held hostage.
Yeah.
In a way.
And I would have had Randy pull the $25 out of his wallet and get this guy off the air if I thought we could get him off quickly.
Yeah, sign me up. I just sent my $25. Well, I was checking out
kind of like when your daughter used to sell Girl Scout cookies. And I mean, everybody. I mean, yeah, you don't mind buying Girl Scout cookies, but as much as I'm sure this book would be compelling, I've read Band of Brothers and I saw Saving Private Ryan. I mean, what else do I need to know?
I'm just waiting for it to come out into a movie, so
yeah.
I'll just wait for that. All right, I was just going to check in on that. It's been a long time since I've heard from him, but that really just blew my mind. COVID was a hoax, and it was just questioning you if you mowed your own yard. That's what I remember about James.
Yeah, well,
that's the same guy.
He hasn't changed. And
dun dun dun.
What do you say, Randy, when somebody leaves the company? We wish him well in his future endeavors. I will provide James with the name of Howard Stern, Jim Rome, Colin Cowherd, Max Kellerman, Pat Smith. I'll provide him the names of everyone I know who has a radio show, and we will hope that he calls all of them about his book. But not us. Tom is up next. Hello, Tom.
Hello, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
I have a comment and a complaint.
Sure.
I commented, you see, Deb, what did you think of the Tennessee-Clemson game?
I have to admit to one of my closest friends, who's a Tennessee man, that I didn't make it to the end of the game, which was like 1 o'clock in the morning. But I did stay with it until about the 11th or 12th. It's one of the better finishes I've ever seen. Was Tennessee in the bottom of the ninth or the top? I can't remember. They were literally down to their last pitch, and they pulled the game out.
They were down to their last pitch.
Okay.
Well, I went to my granddaughter's 18th birthday party, and at the time, Clemson had like the bottom of the 10th, had bases loaded and no outs. I thought, well, they lost. I drove home about 30 minutes and get here, and it's still on.
Yeah, it was remarkable. I kept up with baseball all weekend long. It's just been the fact that there's still so many games going on today is you know, some of it was delays, some of it have been upsets. You've seen Auburn gets shocked, Vanderbilt, Florida's advanced, Tennessee's advanced, LSU just advanced. It has been a remarkable couple of days, but nothing will top the Tennessee game though.
Well, my complaint is this. Yesterday when they had all those games on and I was wanting to watch some more, you know, right. I turned on your network and you're showing reruns of somebody's spring football game.
Right.
Now, this is the SEC network. They could have some more ACC baseball games on there.
Tom, I will tell you that's a fair question, and I asked the same question today because there are a couple of games tonight that will be televised. It's fairly complex, and I'm not going to even attempt to answer it. I know the games are all on digital. Some there's select games on. The first weekend of the baseball series is one of the more complex things to manage, and that's why they have the ESPNU channel where they go
you know,
to all the games.
I appreciate yeah, those, but my point was Tennessee was playing. I think Alabama I've been playing. And they was watching the spring game from Ole Miss.
Can somebody help me? I don't even know the explanation for that. They're going to send me. I think people know me. I'm proud to work for this company, but I'm not one of these people that just code the company line without knowing what I'm talking about. But I'm going to give you the company line right here. Okay. This is according to Amanda Brooks, who is the head of PR. There are a limited number of live NCAA games that can be programmed on college conference networks per the NCAA rights agreement. While the SEC network is unable to bounce between various sites, we're thrilled with the games we are able to air each postseason. So what that tells me is there's a limit to it. And the SEC had a game on Friday right before us and one after us. I know they had games on Saturday. They had a
Vanderbilt game when they were long delay.
Did they have a game on yesterday? I'm sure they did. So they
had a Vanderbilt game.
When I came in today, I fully expected games to be on all day, but there's only so many games. There's only so many they can do. I hope I've answered your question. If I would never be a company spokesperson because I just don't think I have the DNA to do what you have to do to be successful. We'll take a short break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A lot of baseball. A couple of tickets have already been punched today alone. We saw LSU in Florida. Arkansas hanging on for dear life right now. A couple of games later tonight. William is up next in Maryville.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Counselor?
Well, how are you, Dr. Feinbaum?
I'm struggling. It's the end of the day. I've had a lot of prescriptions to write.
Yeah, a lot of charts to dictate.
Yes.
You know, Paul, the guy earlier that called that slammed Matt, you know, I'm probably the most boring caller you've got. I talk about things like contracts or severance agreements or NIL. I'm not Jim. I'm not Legend. I'm not Squirrel. you know, not I Man, and don't really want to be. But I'm going to say something. I think Matt is a great caller because Matt is an enthusiastic fan for his team. And that really is the basis of the Feinbaum Show. Now, we get off on all these other subjects. You welcome other people to talk about other things. But I am going to defend Matt till the cows come home. And I think he's a great caller. And that guy that was bad-mouthing him is way off base.
I appreciate you saying that. And I don't know Matt very well. You may know him better than I do. But I support what he does. This guy calls every day about his team. And he calls every day telling us how good they're going to be. And they went 5-7 last year. But that has not dissuaded him, which is really what makes this league and I think this program what it is.
And you were talking about Congress a little while ago. You know, people who are outside of the South don't understand the significance of Southern football. And I would submit that, you know, 60% of the people in Congress don't understand it. And it is different. It's different than the West Coast. And, you know, I think I said this years ago. I remember when I moved to L.A., I went to my first USC-UCLA game on a beautiful Saturday afternoon at the Rose Bowl, and nobody was there because they were doing other things. And I'm going, where is everybody? They weren't there. It's different, and it always will be different, Paul.
Thank you, William. Another hour to go. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.